Talk to the Students at Loma Linda, California. Manuscript 79, 1910. April 5, 1910. By Mrs. E. G. White. Luke 13. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. Thank God for this, that we can have such manifestations. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him, and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to the watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Consistency is a jewel, and we all want it. And when he had said all these things, his adversaries were ashamed, and well might they be, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then said he, What is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. We want to have just such a work that we shall take up after Christ's example. That is what we need. We need much more of the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God than we now manifest, and it is our privilege to have it. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. Why? Why? Because they trust to uncertainties. They do not read the Bible. They do not understand what the Word says. When they read the Bible and understand what the Word says, let me tell you, there will be 100-fold more accomplished by our churches, by the ministers, and by those that are teachers, and by all men in office, and they will then see of the salvation of our God. What is the matter with us? We haven't a love from above. We do not make a business of serving God. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Teaching on the way. He did not go right straight along. He was teaching on the way, and when he saw persons who needed help, he would take their cases and represent them in his teaching. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? He said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. What is the matter? Why, they are not living their faith. They seek to enter in, but are not able because it requires earnest effort for every one of us to walk in the narrow path that leads to eternal life. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today, and tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me, until the time when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We see there is a great work to be done, and we want everyone to be in the right position and do their part of the work. We are laborers together with God. Now, here God expects us to have a living experience as laborers together with God, and He wants every one of us to be in working order. We are careless. We are too indifferent. We do not seem to know the plan being worked out. Now I see, when I go on the cars, there is one comes through with a great package of papers. We could read them, but what are they good for? We may find a little news in them, but what we need is the work of life and to have a missionary spirit wherever we are. The world will never be warned if we take it so easy. We know how it was with the schools of the prophets. We know that they were learning out of the scriptures and that they were praising God. Because they understood the scriptures, God was glorified. And as Saul was searching for David, he came right up to the school of the prophets, and behold, the first thing they knew, he was prophesying right with the prophets. The school of the prophets was a special school to get the endowment of the Holy Spirit of God, and then go forth into the dark places of the earth and seek for those who would listen to the testimony that they had to bring. We are not half awake. I was so astonished when I came back the first time after we had been gone nearly 10 years in Australia to see nothing being done scarcely at all in San Francisco and Oakland. There was so little being done. Well, I tried to inquire into it, what it meant. Oh, well, they said, they had men out. How many have you? How many will it take in the manner you are doing the work? Well, they said they had other duties to do, but they did not tell me what they were doing. And there, the very work they ought to be doing, there was only one man going round and visiting, and he was not competent. He did not have the experience he needed, and was a man of incompetency. But what right had that minister to do as he did, unless he would take a company and with them get out and hold meetings in different sections? God wants active men. He wants men that will work. He wants men that will understand that there is work for them to do. They can go in and give Bible readings. We know, because we have seen that accomplished. We have advised it, and they have done it, and the Spirit of the Lord has blessed their labors. But not 1,000th part has been done in these cities that ought to have been done. That is what is presented to me. Now I want to tell our brethren that there is a work we are to do, and they are to be interested in the cases of others. There are cities all around us, and when I was in Australia, how glad I would have been if we could have gone right around where the people were, as you can hear. Christ said, "Go everywhere preaching the word." It is the word they must have. It is the scriptures they must have. We do not need these papers that are coming into our parlors. Those who have never been used to our house sometimes don't know where to find their papers. But I say, if you miss your papers, you must find them where you can. I do not take any charge of them whatever, only to put them out of sight. We may want to know the news of the day, and we may have some excuse to just run through them and see what it is. But I want to tell you there is a great work to be done in our world, and we feel intensely like doing our part. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Verse 11. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Are you prepared to do it? Are you preparing? Are you preparing to give an account of yourself before you shall go to rest in the night season? Have you called to mind what you can do to glorify God? Now here is this institution, and we are glad we have it. It is just what we wanted, and now we want to act our individual part in it, every one of us. We believe in Jesus Christ, that He is our Savior, and that He will bear our sins, and we want to glorify His name. But many who are coming into position, just as soon as they consider that they are looked upon as those who can help, they grow into such large proportions that they cannot handle themselves nor anybody else. We want to be humble workers for Jehovah. We have to face the future of this work. We have to face it. We want those who come to this institution to obtain just as much blessing as they possibly can obtain. We want them to receive instruction and light and physical health and understanding, so that when they return to their homes, they can treat their own families and their own sick. And no doubt many consider this a great advantage. Now, every one of us can be workers with God, and while we are here, we can watch to see if we cannot speak a word in season to this one and that one and the other one. And we shall have words enough to say. The blessing of the Lord will rest upon us just as surely as we try to bring ourselves in right relationship to God. In our camp meeting services, there should be singing and instrumental music. Musical instruments were used in the religious services in ancient times. The worshipers praised God upon the harp and cymbal. Music should have its place in our services. It will add to the interest. And every day a praise meeting should be held, a simple service of thanksgiving to God. There would be much more power in our camp meetings if we had a true sense of the goodness and mercy and long-suffering of God, and if more praise went forth from our lips to the honor and glory of His name. We need to cultivate more fervor of soul. The Lord says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." It is Satan's plan to talk about that which concerns himself. He is delighted to have human beings talk of his power, of his working through the children of men. But by indulgence in such conversation, the mind becomes gloomy and sour and disagreeable. We may become channels of communication for Satan, through which words bring no sunshine to the heart. But let us decide that this shall not be. Let us decide not to be channels through which Satan shall send gloomy, disagreeable thoughts. Let our words be not a savor of death unto death, but of life unto life, in the words we speak to the people and in the prayers we offer. God desires us to give unmistakable evidences that we have a spiritual life. We do not enjoy the fullness of the blessing which the Lord has prepared for us because we do not ask in faith. If we would exercise faith in the Word of the living God, we should have the richest blessings. We dishonor God by our lack of faith. Therefore, we cannot impart life to others unless we ourselves bear a living, uplifting testimony. We cannot give that which we do not possess. If we will walk humbly with God, if we will walk in the Spirit of Christ, none of us will carry heavy burdens. We shall lay them on the great burden-bearer. Then we may expect triumphs in the presence of God, in the communion of His love. Every camp meeting may be a love feast from the beginning to the end, because God's presence is with His people. All heaven is interested in our salvation. The angels of God, thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000, are commissioned ministers to those who shall be heirs of salvation. They guard us against evil and press back the powers of darkness that are seeking our destruction. Have we not reason to be thankful every moment, thankful even when there are apparent difficulties in our pathway? The Lord Himself is our helper. Sing, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O Israel! Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem! The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, Let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah 3, verse 14 to 17. This is the testimony that the Lord desires to bear to the world. His praise should be continually in our hearts and upon our lips. Such testimonies will be an influence upon others as we seek to turn men from their self-indulgent efforts to secure happiness. We must show them that we have something better than that which they are seeking. When Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, He did not reprove her for coming to draw water from Jacob's well, but he presented something of far greater value. In comparison with Jacob's well, he presented the fountain of living waters. If we prayed as much as we ought to pray, if we realized that there is an open communication between us and God, we should be in an altogether different position than we are. We should be cheerful, and we shall see that there are 100 blessings all around, no matter whether we belong to this institution or a different institution. You will see that you can speak a word for Christ in the different places. We have a work to do, every one of us, and time is short. We have but a little time now. And we want that Satan shall not take the victory of the whole world. He is at work, the devil and the fallen angels. You remember that. They too rebelled in heaven with Satan and were turned out of heaven. Now, they have the highest efficiency and power. They have the highest efficiency, and they want to hinder every one of you from obeying the Lord. They want to hinder every one of you that they can, in building up coldness and indifference between you. Now, we have work to do, every one of us, and I need not tell you of it. But men may be doing all they can, and still there are many on the lost side. In these books I have here, reads from Volume 6, his praise should continually be in our hearts and upon our lips. Now, as I read, in comparison with Jacob's well, he presented the fountain of living waters. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and he would have given thee living waters. We had to work wonderfully hard before our institutions were established. We went from place to place giving treatments. There are a great many who cannot go to the sanitariums, but we may go right in where they are and see the sick and tell them how to treat themselves. That is the way my husband and I would do, and we took them right into our house. He would take the men and I the women and work that way. What is Satan doing? He links himself with every discordant spirit in the world. Satan and his vast, vast numbers who are disobedient to the heavenly commands. And they will represent these things that are of great importance and give all to understand that they know all about it and that they can do thus and so. We are not building up what we should outside of our churches, and this is the very work the Lord wants carried forward. We have every endowment and capability and every facility provided for discharging the duties that devolve upon us. We should be grateful to God for these advantages. When we went to Australia, I cannot begin to tell you, and you can't understand how little were the advantages there, compared with the darkest places around here. It was hard to gain a foothold for the work there. Here you are better situated. Here are the sick, and you can go into their houses and take the Bible in your hand, and take some of our books along, and read some of the comforting things in these books, and some of the encouraging things. We must not give ourselves right up to ourselves. This institution must spread as a great blessing. This is a good school for children, if you make it so. But if you do not make it so, why then, it is worse than if they had not been here. We want to be in a position where we will honor and glorify God every day. Why are we here? What have we this institution for? To bring relief to the sick. This is according to our mission and just the work which should be carried on, and the Lord wants every one of us to be in working order. And if we will come under discipline to God, we will be as happy a people as you will wish to see. Why? We see the devil working on one side, and that is his side, and he can bring the most entrancing things of heaven that he is acquainted with. He brings these things into his work, but we can have a great deal more knowledge in these things than we possess, and we can be the happiest people of any in the world. And right in this institution, we can be continually at work on the right side. And do not let us look on the dark side. If you have children, here is a good place for you to learn how to bring them up, and how to teach them, and how to guide them. You can do this right here. But that is not enough. There are other places and other towns. We have seen these places being worked, and we have felt thankful for it, and we expect there is a work being done, more or less, all around. What you want every one of you and every one of us is to keep the Savior in view. Jesus told his disciples just before he left them not to mourn about it, but he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, now he tells them just what he is going to do. We want to say we are a people now that have to have a religious experience for ourselves, and we can never enter heaven unless we have that experience. We may have our names on the church books, but have we a daily experience in the things of God? Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And thus he comforts and encourages them with the cross right in view. Our dear Savior says again, I am the true vine, and ye are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. Now we want to know what fruit we are bearing. We want our fruits shall be right before the world in the ministry of Christ on the earth, and they can be if we will. We have all these advantages, and how thankful we should be. The Lord brought this place right into our hands. What advantages we have in this very place! But there are other places where they need help, and let every one who can take his Bible in his hand and see what missionary work he can do. Carry with him some of the little books that we have published, and if the people do not want to buy, leave the books with them, and tell them to read them whether they want to buy or not. And if any of you want to give some away, just do that. There is a chance to let our light shine, and we want to do so. Now Satan has the advantage in many things. He can quote those glories that he had in the heavenly sanctuary just as though they belonged to him, and he will quote these things. He is working upon human minds, and he will bring in all the sophistries that he can bring in, and mix it in with some of his wonderful learning and agency that he had in the heavenly courts. The world will certainly think that he is excellent. We want all that excellency and power, but we shall have the light of truth which is to shine. But Satan will present that light that he had in the heavenly courts, and many will think that it must be the truth, and they are intelligent men and good women, and he leads them right along to perdition. But we have a Savior who wants to make this institution a perfect success. He wants us to do the work intelligently, and he wants us to praise his holy name. We can do it if we will. Satan grasps the minds every time we come into a meeting where they have the love of the truth in its beauty and its charms. We want to be full of usefulness, every one of us, and God can make a success of this institution. But it depends upon us to make this all and in all. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. Well, now you see those who had not believed in the commandments of God. They did not believe in the Sabbath commandment. They did not obey this. We want to be in a situation where we can live these commandments, so that our lives will teach the people we believe just what we profess to believe. I want to say that it will be well for you to become acquainted with these books, Volumes Test. We have seen the application. We have been placed where we had to see it. God meant we should see it. A lady was passing by, one of our highest teachers in Battle Creek, and it was icy, and she didn't know how to drive, and neither did her husband, and the sleigh slipped and jerked the lines right out of their hands. Jump, jump, said the husband, and she jumped and was caught right on the side of the sleigh and struck her head on the ice, and the blood poured out of her ears and nose and eyes, and they thought it would be impossible to save her. But we gathered her up and took her into the house. We said we will take care of her, but it is a question of how long she can live. There must be no noise around anywhere. It may be possible we can save her life. The doctor was sent for, and when he said, "What are you doing?" we said, "Giving her a hot foot bath right under the bedclothes." "Well," he said, "you know better than I," and he turned on his heel and walked off. And that was the last we saw of the doctor. Well, we kept her for 4 weeks, and we had all the roosters removed from the neighborhood and every bit of noise excluded. And we succeeded in saving her life. 5 years later, in passing a woman who looked like this same teacher, When she saw me, she grasped me in her arms and said, "You saved my life and the life of this child, the only child I have. And I feel so grateful whenever I hear the name of Ellen White mentioned." From this beginning, they founded the institution in Battle Creek. It takes a great deal to break down prejudice. Tepid water will not melt cold tallow. We cannot make much impression on cold tallow with warm water. Well, now I have talked with you long enough. We are intensely interested. We have a grand review before us. People are watching us everywhere, and they are watching to see how much higher our piety is than the piety of those who have no connection with an institution. We want to be in a position where we can let our piety pour over the outside when we can. There will be opportunities. You cannot neglect things here. You cannot do that. But you can find opportunities where you can let the light of this institution shine forth. God wants you to do it. I believe that you will try to do it. What we want is a greater work of faith that we may show forth the praises of God in what He is doing and what He will do for us. If we will show this faith, it will have as much influence as any treatment you can give to those who are looking on to see what we are doing. Let us get into the position where we will lay all on Jesus Christ, for there is a grand review to take place. Only a little while, and there is to be an examination of what we believe and what we are. Are we prepared to be transferred to higher grades? To a higher school where Christ will lead us to the tree of life, and there will continue to teach us in regard to the ages of the eternal life. Are we prepared for that grand review? Are we fashioning our characters to that divine similitude? God help us that we may be Christians in every sense of the word. If we will obey God, let me tell you the way is already open. The angels of God will be our representatives wherever we go. The angels of God are round about us. Everyone is in communication with Jesus Christ. They are one with Him, and we want to do the works of God. We want to be wide awake, full of zeal, and live for God, and advance step by step heavenward. Are we prepared for the grand review? It is coming on. Satan is gathering all of his beautiful knowledge that he had when he was an angel of light, and he is coming in to deceive the very elect with that very knowledge. And we want to be in a position where we can work intelligently, where we can work in faith and bring souls to a knowledge of the truth of the grand review that will take place when he tells them that he is going to have the whole world as his subjects, and they will gather under his banner. But we must stand higher. Young men and young women, teachers, doctors, do not put on pompous positions, as though you knew everything worth knowing, but act as little children, coming to ask God to let His blessing rest upon you, that you may teach others. For if you do that, the will of God will be revealed, and it will follow you wherever you go. We have a whole Savior. He is not a piece of a Savior. He will save every soul that comes unto Him. Now, let us have that working faith, have that believing faith, have that intelligent faith that it is our privilege to have.